So we'll continue now with this lesson, building up a prevailing children's work in the church. And I hope as we go through, saints, you would pick up this point. We need the whole church. We need the whole church. This does not mean that everyone signs up to serve on the children's service. But it does mean that all the children are our children. That we have this view. All the children are my children. And we're not just concerned only for our own children. But that all the children in the church, when we see them, it's as if they are our own. I hope that eventually there's something even broader than this. And that is all children. Whenever you see a child, your heart goes to them. You know, the Lord had this kind of a heart. The disciples did not. You know that story. The parents were trying to bring their children to Jesus. Maybe they were sick. Maybe not. Maybe they just wanted Jesus to touch their child. And so they were trying. You know, the love of the parents, there's nothing like that. Especially the moms. The love of a mother, it's something very, very particular. And they were trying to bring their child to Jesus. And the disciples, the brothers, the brothers are, Jesus doesn't have time for your child. Who do you think you are? He heals people. He's a great teacher. And somehow, you know, Jesus was here. Did he overhear? Did he notice? And what did, you know, in the book of Mark, I think it's chapter 10, it says, you know what it says? It says, he became indignant. What is indignant? Can you demonstrate indignant for us? It's, you know, if it was angry, I think the Bible would say angry. But it's indignant. Jesus became indignant with the disciples, with the brothers. He says, let them come. Oh, I don't know if he said it that way. But I somewhat think he did. John, Peter, no. Let them come. Don't you think it was this way? Amen. I believe it was this way. To the brothers, he had to say, no. Matthew, Bartholomew, no. Come. And then, he takes the child. Not just bless them. One verse, you know, this portion appears more than once. In Mark, I think it's verse 14, if I'm not mistaken. Mark 10, 14. It says, he fervently blessed them. 16? Mark 10, 16. Could you read the verse to us, brother?
Taking them into his arms, he fervently blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Amen. He fervently blessed them. What is this? Ben, come here. Suppose Jesus is going to bless Ben. Bless you. But this verse says, fervently bless. What does that mean? What does that look like? I don't know what it is. But that was in front of the disciples? In front of the disciples? He was making a point to them. fervently blessing the children. I hope when you drive by the elementary school and see all those children there. I don't know, maybe there'd be a prayer in your heart. Lord, these little vessels, these innocent little vessels, Lord, would you do something in this neighborhood? If not, Lord, where will they end up, those children? What will they end up doing? Where will they end up? Some of them may end up in prison. Lord, what about these children? I hope if you're in a building with other families, it's not just always like this. I've got to protect my children. Of course, you have to protect your children from all the influences. But I do hope that our hearts could be more like, permit the children to come. Yeah. So, okay, we are up to Romans 3. Let's read 3 together. In carrying out this work, in this point, could you please circle the word sisters? And also, elders. So who do we have so far? Responsible brothers, co-workers, sisters, elders. Okay. Hey, let's start this time with the brothers. How about we circle older sisters? Older sisters. Okay, let's continue. Sisters, please read B. Amen. Sisters, promote the burden.
Amen.
What does this mean? This means bother the brothers. Bother the leading ones. How about sisters? You contact the leading ones in your church and say, brothers, this week in the prayer meeting, could we pray for the children? Could we pray for the children's meeting? Could we pray for the children's meetings in the neighborhoods among us? That maybe in this coming year, in our local church, one or two neighborhood children's meetings could be raised up. Could we pray for this, brothers? Because sisters, if you don't mention this to the brothers, they're not going to think about this. They're thinking about other things. They need your view, your perspective, your burden. The brothers will be very open. Because saints, if we don't pray for it, if we don't ask for it, we will never get it. So at least we have to pray. We have to ask. Amen. Brothers, could we read number 1? Small 1.
On the one hand, they should not give the brothers any peace. And on the other hand, they should learn not to assume the leadership, but to be full of patience, knowing when to proceed and when to wait.
Sisters, don't flip the page too fast. Be patient, sisters. Be patient with the brothers when they don't respond right away. Be patient when they say, well, you know, we have quite a number of burdens to pray this week, but maybe next week. The verses here, actually in the point before this, are from Luke 18. That's that parable where the woman goes to the unrighteous judge, and we shouldn't consider the brothers as unrighteous judges. That's not the correlation. What you're trying to point out here is the persistence in prayer. Sisters, I hope before the Lord, you're praying, and you're praying together for all the children in the church. Pray for your own children. Pray for one another's children. Pray for all the children in the church. Pray for the children in your neighborhoods. I hope we have this kind of resolve and persistence before the Lord. And then there's a verse from 1 Samuel 1. This is the example of Hannah. You know Hannah? Samuel's mother. She was so desperate to pray, not only to ask for a child, but to ask for a child that she could lend to the Lord for his economy, for his purpose. I hope this is the kind of heart that we have in our prayer for our children. Sisters, are we? Two? The sisters? Amen. Brothers, see.
The sisters should also bring the children to the meeting. Every week, the sisters should consider how to bring the children to the meeting.
Without the background of what I mentioned earlier, you could not understand this point, I think. Because you say, what does it mean to consider how to bring the children to the meeting? You just get them dressed and bring them to the meeting. Okay, this is not talking about your own children. This is talking about bringing other children, bringing neighborhood children, bringing the children of the ones who are not meeting so often. I think maybe here I can spend a few minutes to tell you my history and my testimony. My family is from the island of Puerto Rico. Americans usually say Puerto Rico. Yeah. Okay. So I'll use Puerto Rico, but it's Puerto Rico. Okay. Do you know this place? It's a little island, not too far from Florida. Right? There's islands there, bigger islands and smaller islands, all the way down to South America. And there's Cuba, and there's Hispaniola, which is on one side is the Haiti, and the other side is the Dominican Republic, and then Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico, if I had more time, I'd give you a little history, because the Lord is the leader and the Savior. The leader and the Savior. And he establishes the boundaries of all the nations. And so actually my salvation, and the reason that I'm standing here before you, has to do with the Lord's intervening in the world situation in 1898. And from that time, the Lord did something to take this island out of the hands of the Spanish, who were dominated by Catholicism. And it put it into the pocket of the United States. And another island, Cuba, was under the same situation. And for some reason, they became an independent nation at that time, which looks like, oh, that's much better. And even till today, there are people that are bitter in Puerto Rico over this decision to let Cuba have its independence. And we just change masters. We belong to Spain, now we belong to the United States. There are people there who fight against this. But you know, after receiving their independence, a little more than 50 years later, someone rose to power and communism took over and controlled that a government controlled by atheism, by the principle of atheism. Of course, thank the Lord, we have 9 local churches there. But they have to meet, you know, in a hidden way. But Puerto Rico, because it belongs to the United States, then everyone who is born there is a United States citizen. So you just, as easily as one goes from New York to Virginia, one goes from New York to Puerto Rico. You don't need a passport, you just get on a plane and go. So the economy being the way it was, my father, looking for the American dream, he went from Puerto Rico to New York. My father actually was a professional baseball player in his earlier days. Not as cool as it would be today. Yeah, no. Because in those days, he determined, he left that kind of profession to be a carpenter because he could earn more money as a carpenter than as a professional ball player. Yeah. It's not like that today. Yeah. I have wondered about that. But anyway, so then he's a carpenter, and then he found out that he could earn more money as a carpenter in New York City than in Puerto Rico. So he moved. And I was not born yet. And he got a job, got an apartment, and eventually sent for my mother and my three siblings, who were all actually 10, 12, and 14 years older than I. And this was 1953 when he moved, 1954 when they all came. So they had an apartment in Manhattan, on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And within 2 weeks of moving there, on a Saturday afternoon, there was a knock on the door. My mother opens, and there's a woman there in her 30s. And she welcomed her to the neighborhood. We should always look for the new people in the neighborhood. Yeah. She welcomed her to the neighborhood and said, "Do you have children?" She knew that my mother had children. I know for sure she knew this already. But she says, "Do you have children? Because I teach the Bible to children on Saturday afternoon for an hour. Would you like to send them?" So my mother was a nominal Christian. She was not regenerated. She grew up Episcopalian. But she called herself a Christian, and she respected the Bible. So she loves her children. She respects the Bible. "You want to teach the Bible to my children? That's a good thing. We just got here. They don't have friends. I will send them." So she sent them. The children come home and after an hour. And my sister, who was 6 years old, very excited, very excited. And she says, "Mommy, I want to go back." So the following week, Mrs. Petrale, that was her name, Sister Petrale, she came, picked them up. My mother sent them again. But this time, she sent them, waited a few minutes, not even that long, but she decided she was going to follow them. So she waited till they left, and then she found, because she realized, what did I do? I'm sending my children. It was a more innocent time, right? So she followed them, and it was just in the neighborhood, and on the second floor, there was a store, and second floor, there was a room. And the room probably not even a quarter of the size of this hall. Yeah. And my mother told me 35 to 40 children in this room with two sisters, both in their 30s. And they practiced the three S's. And actually, this is all the training you need. You know the three S's? First one is singing. And with the children, you always need singing. And you don't have to wait till the children's meeting. When they're the babies, sing. You just sing. Sing to them, sing with them. Lots of singing. Children, you can have a children's ministry just by singing. Second, story. And Brother Lee emphasizes this We should learn to tell a good story. Train our people to tell a good story. And so that no one misunderstands, I'm talking about the Bible stories. Bible story. Tell a Bible story. But make it interesting. Actually, it's not that you make the story interesting. The story is interesting. So bring out the interesting thing of the story. These are children. And the third, of course, snack. Singing story snack. And this is what we, this is what, snack, food, food, food. So this is what we practice. This is what we're teaching people. This is what even Brother Lee talks about. Those three sisters never heard of any of this, those two sisters. This is what they did. And they drew the children of the neighborhood. They would just go in the neighborhood and bring the children 1 hour. They would do singing, story, snack. Singing, I believe, I don't know this 100%, but I believe they had no songbooks. They had no projector. No PowerPoint. They just taught the children songs. Actually, for this, you don't need any of those things. You don't even need chairs. You just need actually one living sister. One sister who will just draw the children. So my mother saw this, and she was drawn to these two women. So from that week forward, there were three. So she joined them. But she was not saved yet. So my sister was really the spark of wanting to go. Within 6 months, my sister got saved at 6 years old. And then my mother was led to the Lord. And these two sisters were attending a Brethren denomination. So I don't know if you're all familiar with the Brethren. That's where I grew up. But this event was not sponsored by the Brethren Church. These two sisters, out of their own burden, out of their own pocket, each week they rented this room. Just they did this. And the increase came. So now, okay, then my sister got saved, my mother got saved, my two brothers got saved. I was born. I wasn't born yet. I was born. My sister, when I was 7, led me to Christ. Yeah. Then my 31 years after this first event, 35 years later, I led my father to Christ. All of us owe those two sisters. We are their crown. Now, my father and mother, my mother just went to the Lord a year ago this week, but my father and mother, all of us and our spouses, all in Christ. All our children, save for one, all our children in Christ. There are some, because my siblings are that much older than I, than some of my brothers, their children are grown up, you know, the 20s and 30s. And many of them are in Christ. And some of them, especially one family, we've baptized already, all three of her children. Those are my grandnephews. Actually, now this family has 5 generations alive. My father is 95. Yeah. And he's in the church in Anaheim now. But my 4 generations in Christ. All of us, Sister Petrali. So of course, she's been with the Lord a long time now. But when she faces the Lord, we all will come. Thank you. We all will be there. All these generations. And I don't know about all the other children that she ministered to. Sisters, this is your potential. You could have many fruits in this way. Never think, oh, I don't have a function. Just because you don't say something on the Lord's Day. It's good to say something on the Lord's Day. But that's not everything. There's a lot that you can gain for the Lord. And then through us, others have come to the Lord. To some extent, they also owe everything to Sister Petrelli. So sisters, do you see this? This is much more than leading my own child to the Lord. We're going to talk about that tonight a little bit. But there has to be that too for our own children. But the view is actually quite broad. And with a view for the church to gain the increase. And also, through this, in this way, by gaining the children, you gain the local people of every race and color and tongue. Because the children make friends, they don't care about any of these things. The children make friends much faster than we make acquaintance with people. So if we really are open, we will gain from the community. Yeah. So that's why it's very short-sighted if a local church, even you have 15 people, if you don't properly take care of the children, that's short-sightedness. That could be the greatest increase for the church. You say, oh, we only have three. We only have three. Then with your three, invite others. I know there's one sister, she just started this. She's only done it once. This is in our district. She has five children. She has five children. The oldest one is 10. The next one, 8. So she just got the burden responding to this fellowship. So she went in her housing complex and just invited some of the mothers. Oh, we're going to have a little children's Bible time, if you'd like. And very, very forthright. It's a children's Bible thing. So if, you know, somebody's offended by that, they just say, no, it's okay. But you let them know. We're not tricking people into this. We just be very straightforward with them. Oh, we're having this. And you'd be surprised how many people want to send their children to such a thing. And so, anyway, she ended up, I think, five families or children from five families came. And she didn't have any helpers. We always say you should don't do it alone. Have some sisters or you will see in a moment. Young people are good. Invite the high schoolers to come and tell the story. High schoolers would be very good. They can act out the thing very, like, you know. We were maybe a little more reserved to, you know, Jesus walked on the water. And, but the children will, you know, I mean the young people. Anyway, you know who were her helpers? The 8-year-old and 10-year-old. The 10-year-old led the singing. The 10-year-old with her. The 8-year-old told all the children where to sit. And he's the only boy in the family. He behaved very well. Because he's responsible. He's helping mommy to. So actually, there's no restrictions for this. This could be applied anywhere. Okay, let's continue. We're up to D. And I forget who, but brothers, let's read. We must use the young sisters to lead the children's meeting. The church should train the teachers so that the young sisters learn to teach. So how about we circle young sisters? young sisters. Okay? Then, sisters, please go on for E. Brothers, only eternity
will reveal the result of this. Perhaps out of a group of children for whom we are caring, some will become apostles.
Amen. Sisters. We circle housewives. Housewives. Okay, let's read point Roman 4 together. We also need the help of the young people in the children's work. This matter must be developed. How about we circle young people? We need the young people. Saints, I know that throughout the years, those of us who have been serving the young people directly, although I don't do that so much these days, but in times past, always so burdened that sometimes, very honestly, our young people are bored. They're just you see them in the meeting, and they're bored. Thank the Lord that they're there, but they're bored. They do not own this church life in the same way that we do. Now, not all of them. Some of them are quite engaged. But there are a certain number that they just don't have the interest. Okay. Again, many factors. We don't pretend that we know everything and analyze everything. But one thing we've come to know, and that is we shouldn't spoil them by not allowing them to bear responsibility. And at as early an age as possible, we should try to bring them to bear some amount of responsibility in the church life. Now, that might be arranging the chairs and cleaning the table and cleaning the bathroom and raking the leaves and helping on the nursery or helping with the ushering or helping with something. The more they're involved in these things, the more engaged they are, the more this is their own assembling together. You know, in one message, Brother Lee shared this way. He said, all the young people, this was a word to the young people directly. He said, young people, you must bear a double responsibility. A double responsibility. And by that he meant this. Number one, you should bear the responsibility for the gospel at your school. Don't depend on others. And number two, you should bear the responsibility as brothers and sisters in the church. And by this, he explained what he meant. Firstly, in the church meeting, you should bear the responsibility. He said, in the church meeting, you are not young people. In the church meeting, you are all adults. You are all adults. Somehow, it's possible that we, unconsciously, give them a view that they are something other than we. They're different than we are. We tell them to sit in their own section sometimes, and of course we have conferences for them, and we have meetings for them, and we have things for them, and they're not blent into the church life. So they've grown up in what you might call a parallel church life. And the only time, if I had a board here, I could draw the two lines. Our church life, young people's church life. But they intersect. When? Lord's Day morning for an hour. And then they go back into their world. Now, do they need their own meetings? Yes, sometimes, I agree. There are certain things we need to share with them. But they don't need a parallel church life. They should be in the church life. So Brother Lee talks about the meetings, that's one thing. But besides that, he talks about the service. And the main service, he said, the young people should be on is the children's meeting. The children's meeting. Now, some young people, at least this is, I've been involved with decisions like this in the past, feeling, oh, no. We can't let this brother serve the children. Because look at him. He's just a bad example. His hair is here. He's got things and, you know, and his clothes and bad testimony. Well, I'm not proposing that we would do that. I'm not proposing that. But maybe we could still have him serve somewhere. Don't categorize.
Amen.
Don't categorize. You know, what I have noticed that we have more faith in life for new ones than we sometimes do for the life in our own children. Now, I'm not talking about just the children in elementary school. Children, before they've received the Lord, we must raise them properly. We use culture. We use ethics. We use morality. We build up the proper humanity. But I'm saying now, a teenager. Suppose this one gets saved. He goes on in junior high. Now he's 16. He takes a detour. He's in the world. He comes back. His hair's a different color. And he's got a thing on his arm. And a ring somewhere. Isn't there something in some of us that... We may even purse our lips. Now, look at this. This is terrible. But that is life in there. If a new one would walk in like this, we'd say, did you see the new one in the meeting? Oh, you mean the one with the hair and the thing? Yeah. Just because there's another body there, we're all excited. But when we say, oh, it's our young person. Well, actually, lessons 2 and 3 are all on that. I don't know if I've got time to touch that. But my point is this. If they're involved in the church life, there's more hope. Now, maybe these ones, don't put them to lead the singing in the children's meeting. That would not be good. One boy came home one day. I remember this. He said, Mommy, I want my hair like this brother so-and-so. And it turns out the brother so-and-so, he just got a mohawk, is it? Mohawk. He had been serving children's meeting. So he became an inspiration to the boys. But I have found the opposite. I have found this. Because they're serving, we can tell the young brothers and sisters, you must be careful how you dress. You must be careful how you comb your hair. You must be careful what you say, even your attitude. You serving tomorrow? You must come 15 minutes before the time. Don't just drag in at 10:15. And for the service, they do it. I've seen quite a number of young people come up to the standard. Why? Because they have a purpose to do it now. They're doing it for the sake of the children. It's helped them very much. And we all know the children like to follow the ones just older than them. They don't look at us. They look at the teenagers. And the teenagers could be a wonderful influence on them. So I have seen this, actually, much more than negative examples. I've seen the positive examples where the high schoolers are serving and their service perfects them. Through their service, they have contact with us in a different dynamic as with the serving ones. Do you know what I mean? If you have a teenager, now you brothers are doing the ushering, so you come together to pray. This teenager is there with you. This happened, this was 3 weeks ago. There was this teenage boy. Oh, all the brothers there are in their late 20s, 30s, and one brother in their 70s, and me, and this 16-year-old brother there. I never heard him pray before. But now we're the ushering brothers. I met with them, and oh, he prayed. Oh, and he was dressed very nice. That helped him very much. So this is a way, actually, you help the children and the young people in this, with one stroke. So this can help the young people very much. Let's read the sub-points. Sisters A. Brothers, we can ask
brothers in the church to perfect the junior high and high school brothers and sisters to assist in teaching the children.
Give the young people responsibility to teach. We've tried to do this, and I know there are times when the teachers so hesitant. Now, I know when they're first starting to serve, the first time, second time, the first couple of months, they have to observe, they have to learn, they have to be trained. But if after a year, the high schoolers, all they're doing is taking attendance, bringing the snack, and taking the children to the bathroom, then you're not a very good leader. Because all the leaders should bring people to do what they do. That's perfecting. Don't be afraid that they will be better than you. But you know, some of them might actually be better than us. You know, I'm in and out. I travel quite a bit. And then when I'm in New York, I'm involved with different districts. So in my kind of home district, I haven't been around too much. So when I'm there, every now and then, at their Lord's table, after the bread and cup are passed, there's still some time, I like to sneak out and go see the children's meeting and go see the nursery. I like to keep current with the babies' names, know who they are. You know, I like them to know my face. And I go to the children's meeting. Oh, I went there 2 months ago. I remember this, really striking to me. That particular day, there was college sister leading the singing with a high school brother helper, a high school brother on the piano, and then two other high schoolers, and then several other older saints. Older, we don't have hardly any older saints. Older saints means in their 20s and 30s. Okay, yeah. I mean, that our district is lots of young adults and young families. But, that sister, the way she led all the children. We have now in that district, we have about 20, between 20 and 25 children now. Because we had about 40, but we outgrew the building, so we had to start another district, so we sent half of them out. So it's about 20, 25. Oh, the children were quite engaged. Even the fifth grade boys were singing. Do you know what I mean? Even the fifth grade boys were singing. And actually, I went to see the nursery. Then I came back. Oh, she had like a couple from each level. We have three levels. Up in the front with, you know, leading the... He's able. You know, anyway, you know, so, but they were, the kids were, you know, she just had a way, that's my point. was a college sister with a high school helper. If you make room for them, if you provide the opportunity and the training and the covering and the critique so that they can improve, they could be very good. There's a lot of resources, maybe. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, where's the people? Where's the people? Actually, the people are under our nose.
That's right.
But we didn't consider that they could be brought in. So I hope we could have a view. This could help the young people's work very much, very much. Okay, how about for time? Let's go to Romans 5. The elderly saints. Oh, we have to circle. Elderly saints. We need the elderly saints. Not just the grandmas, but also the grandpas. We don't expect you to do much. We just expect you, just open the door. And if possible, bake some cookies and have some milk. I had fellowship with Brother Lee one time. I was 19. And my roommate or my housemate was Brother Lee's grandson. That's how I got in. So I went home one day. I told him, I want to talk to Grandpa. Get me in. So he made an appointment for me. So one Saturday, I went there with my roommates, three of us, two roommates. And, of course, it was my idea. So, actually, this was a two-hour conversation, Brother Lee with me, a 19-year-old, boy. And so I was talking to him, how do you gain the high schoolers, Brother Lee? And so the main point was this. Talk to your elders. Always about be one with the elders. Yeah. Talk to your elders and see if the church can buy a home across the street from the high school. Right across the street from the high school. And then find a good couple and just live there. And ask the sister to bake some cookies and serve milk. And you will gain much increase for the Lord. That's what he told me. He didn't talk about preaching. He didn't talk about meetings. He talked about a home, the right couple, and cookies. Sisters, elderly saints, we know your function now probably is primarily prayer and shepherding. It's prayer and shepherding. And don't think, oh, we don't do much. No, we covet your prayer. And we need your shepherding. If you just open the home, people like to be in the homes of grandmas and grandpas. You just provide an atmosphere. And then we'll try to our best to train some young sisters to go to your home and to lead. They can teach. They can lead the singing. They'll clean up the mess before they leave. Before they leave, they'll clean up. You don't have to clean up. Could you do that? I think, sisters, grandmas, in your neighborhood, if you would go to your neighbors and say, I'm having something for children to teach the Bible. I don't know if you'd like to send your children. Oh, it wouldn't be like when we go door knocking. We go door knocking, we get door slammed. No one would slam the door, I think. Even they say no, they will do it in the nicest way. Sisters, you could do this. You could do this. We need your function. Let's read ABC. How about we read all together? They may sing with the children, tell them stories, and lead them to know God. Gaining people
in this way is very safe, because they are taught by us and receive the gospel from us.
one sister in Michigan in between 1992 and 1995. I was in that region sharing this kind of fellowship. At the end, she stands up to prophesy. She told us this story. In that place, small town, in her locality, the church, very small, just a few students. There's one local family, one American family, hers. All the rest, overseas students, about 15. In that community, she has four children. In that community, a tragedy, a boy in seventh grade committed suicide. And this just sent shockwaves through, you can imagine, through the whole community. This is the news, you know. And she just said, oh, I have to pay more attention to my children. I have to know them. I have to speak with them. I have to get them to open to me. I just have to pay more attention. And many mothers were like, you know. So she knew two sisters in the Lord, not in the local church, but two sisters in the Lord, loving the Lord very much. They all had children. They decide, we have to do something for our children, with our children. We have to do more. So they decided every week they would just meet with the three families. Yeah. The children started inviting friends to this thing. And within 3 years, they had more than 200 children that they were meeting with every week. In Michigan. Not all 200 every week, but you could imagine. They have these, and of course, the three of them had big homes that you could manage something like that. But can you imagine? When they started, the children were elementary, just starting middle school. After 3 years, now it's almost all middle school, high school. Eventually, they didn't have the container because of the church life. So they turned this work over to a Christian group, the three of them. They actually interviewed pastors. Pastors lined up. And they had to sit in front of the three sisters. And the three sisters, well, we don't think so. Next. Until they found this one brother, actually fairly, I think in his 20s, who was with, I don't know if it was Youth for Christ or some of one of those ministries that they felt very good about. So they turned the whole work over to them. She felt very bad that all the fruit didn't come to the church. But she told us this. Till today, in that community, now those children are in their 30s. Wow. With their own children, married. Whenever they see her, they light up. Say, hi, Miss Lydia. Hi, Miss... Everybody remembers her. The extent, the fruit, only eternity will tell what the fruit would be of such labor. Right? Okay. Let's go to the last point, Romans 6. When the entire church. A and B.
We should take action immediately. All the churches should encourage the saints in this manner, and we should pray in this manner. All saints want their children to receive spiritual help. Even dormant saints want their children to receive spiritual guidance.
So how about in Romans 6, we circle entire church. And in the very last point, we circle dormant saints. So who do we have? Can we go back to the beginning? Romans 2. Responsible brothers, co-workers, sisters, elders, older sisters, young sisters, housewives, young people, elderly saints, entire church, dormant saints. This is our view of the work with the children. We need the whole church mobilized. Yes, we need the children's meeting in the church, which most churches have on the Lord's Day. We need that strengthened. And there's a lot of fellowship for that. But that's not the only thing. And the burden of the children is much broader than that. So I will close by just mentioning this. two things. These two points, which I'll mention more tonight. On the positive side, with the children, the main thing we're trying to do is build them up as vessels for the Lord so that they're ready for salvation. So we have to pay attention on the positive side, this is the point, building the proper humanity. Amen. Building up the proper humanity. But for this, there's a negative point. Number two, we must avoid premature knowledge. Avoid giving the children the premature knowledge. Premature knowledge damages people. Both as children, also as teenagers. Sometimes even with the teenagers, it's possible to give the premature knowledge. Now, what is that? That is simply the knowledge of either God or the Bible or spiritual principles that are beyond their level of maturity. Now, for the children, premature knowledge is not the existence of God. All of them, from the time they're little, we can let them know, there is God. Look, see the tree? See the tree? Who made that? God. See the bird? You know who made the bird? God. In the beginning, God. We can help them memorize. In the beginning, God. You can sing. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning. God. Yeah! Oh, don't you? They'll be so happy. Okay, let's do it again. Again? You know, again? Again? Okay. In the beginning. God. In the beginning. God. In the beginning. God. In the beginning. God. Yeah! They'll be happy. Then the next lesson. What? In the beginning, God created. Created. God created. God created you. God created mommy. God created daddy. God created the doggy and the fish and the sun and the moon. And then anywhere you go, they might just out of the, mommy, look, moon, God did that. That's not premature knowledge. Now you have your two-year-old, Benji. God created man in his image to express him. And for this, he went through a process. And he's the spirit to get into you. Let's call on the Lord. Use your spirit. That's premature knowledge. So, you know. Now, to tell them the story of Moses, to tell them the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, that's not premature knowledge. But if in John 6, you tell them, Jesus is the bread of life, you know, he fed the 5,000, but actually he was demonstrating that he wants to be food to man. And it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit or life. So the way to eat the Lord is to pray read. So children, let's pray read. So you can go from the story of feeding the 5,000 to pray reading. I say, stop. Stop somewhere here. Instead of telling them Jesus is the bread of life, just tell them, see, the disciples wanted to send them away. But Jesus said, no. You give them something to eat. You. So, children, when people come to your house, don't send them away to eat. You should offer them a glass of water. So this week, everybody has to offer somebody a glass of water. Next week, we're going to check. Okay, next week you come. Okay, did anybody do it? Mike says, I did. Oh, with, okay, tell us a story. Well, my uncle came to... Don't you think that your uncle would be like surprised and say, whoa, you're doing a good job with this kid. And then you'll say, that wasn't me. That's from the children's meeting. Your uncle, who doesn't meet with the church, might say, I think I want to send my kid to your church. That could happen. And then Jesus, you know, he asked them, what? Go find something. What do you have among you? And they said, okay, we look. And what did they find? Five loaves, two fish. Who had it? Who had it? A little boy. How did a little boy have five loaves? I don't know. Doesn't say. But imagine, there. And does anybody have anything? And here's the little boy. And the little boy's, no, I don't have. Suppose he didn't share that day. But he said, I have this. He shared. And from his sharing, everybody got blessed. Children, boys, this week, you should share something. And next week, let's have some sharing stories. You come and tell us. Okay, Benji, did you do it? Did you share this week? Yeah, I shared with my sister one time. Oh, well, tell us that one. Tell us that. Then Jesus also, you know, before distributing the food, you know, he told them, have them sit in companies of 50 and 100. Do you know this part? They had to sit down in orderly fashion. So children, boys, after the lesson, we're going to have snack. But if you're not orderly, you don't get the snack. And then at that time, Thomas, remember what? Remember the lesson. Oh, I'm sorry. So you apply the lesson. So you apply at their level. So you're telling a Bible story. But the application is at their level. Now, if they're sixth graders, well, maybe now, even fourth graders, tell them a little more. Jesus actually came from heaven to earth to become someone we could take in. You teach them a little more. If they're in sixth grade, you have to show them, oh, he was broken for us. He was broken. You know, to eat bread has to be very small. When they put the bread, you cut it or you break it. Do you know that's what happened to Jesus? Let's look at the gospel to see how Jesus was broken for us. Now, that's older. So at their level, that's what we mean. So some, I know this because it's happened in a number of places, have misunderstood when we say no premature knowledge. They think we said, don't teach the Bible. But we never said that. We never said that. We just said, avoid the premature applications. Because, saints, there was one place that I know of personally that they were using the life study messages to teach in the children's meeting. So you understand? The things we're saying are not from the sky. Yeah. I think that's enough. I think we are supposed to stop. Yeah. But I wonder, I don't know if it's possible if we could have this grace to just have 5 minutes of responding. Well, I know we were supposed to stop at 12, but could we stop at 12:15? Anybody that needs to go, just go. But if we could set a little.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you. So please respond. We have about 6 minutes.